This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 247 of Shudders Inc. and a happy new year to you all. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
What? No, hey, no, honey, hang on a sec. I can't talk to them. I've got to talk to that bloody Bruce Williams for a few minutes. Yeah. No, I'll be out soon. Yeah, I know he's a pain. Yeah, I'll be.
Oh, hey, mate.
Are you there? Oh, you're there, Bruce. G'day, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Didn't realise we were on already. Happy New Year. Gee, I've missed you.
Yeah, likewise. Happy New Year to you.
Oh, that was facetious, bud.
Thank you.
I wasn't being serious, you know.
How was your Christmas?
You know, it was marvellous. Yeah, a 2.5-year-old is just old enough to enjoy her first real Christmas, and a 6.5-year-old where the magic's just all there. It was a great Christmas. So
excellent.
Lots of fun.
Did you host a horde of invaders, or did you go and invade somebody else's place?
Never do. I always invade others.
Yeah, right. Smart man.
We do over 2 days, so it doesn't ever spend the love out of it. We do my wife's family Christmas Day and my family Boxing Day.
Right.
Which, for those in America, Boxing Day is the day after Christmas.
The same every year, or do you rotate it?
Every year. Yeah.
Right.
Never do my family on Christmas Day at all.
And they don't get upset about that?
No, I don't even talk to them.
It's okay.
I don't even give them a call. Don't even say g'day. Yeah, we're a close family, close-knit. Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah. And now we catch up the next day, and that's just the way it's been. It's just, yeah, what it is.
Fair enough.
All good.
Excellent.
And your Christmas, was it wonderful? Did you?
Well, Kath had to work on Christmas Day, so I stayed home with Max, and I looked after preparing the evening meal because we were hosting for the evening meal. All of Kath's brothers who live in Sydney came up with their respective partners in the afternoon of Christmas Day, and we had dinner and then just sort of...
Well, that's a good one to do because it's like quarter servings for everybody. Yeah.
Well, that's what I kept trying to tell Kath, and she wanted 3 different main courses. I was like, why are we doing this? No one's going to eat. But it was a good night. We had a good time.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Did you get anything nice under the festive tree? Anything photo-related?
No, nothing.
Not a sausage?
Nothing. You?
I didn't, but a customer of mine's husband rang me.
Okay.
A couple of weeks before Christmas, and he says, look, you know, I really want to get my wife something photographic related.
You know, so gave her a workshop. Christmas.
So he gives me a 15 workshop voucher would be perfect. Yeah. So I said, look, you know, sneak into a bag, write down all the stuff you can see, because I know most of the stuff, but just to make sure.
Yeah.
And email me the list, and we'll work together on some stuff. Never heard a word from him.
Oh, okay.
Well, you ungrateful bastard. So I never heard a word from him. Day after Christmas, I see a Facebook update from her unwrapping her new present. Right?
Yeah.
Brand new Audi Q7.
Oh!
In a big blue, with a big blue tarp over and a big red ribbon. I think, what, mate? It was that hard to go look in the bag. Oh, bugger, I'll go buy a $100,000 car.
Yeah.
Because that's so much easier, you know?
Clearly it was.
I had to laugh. That's too much work. I'll just give her a car. Yeah, some people live in different realms than you, my friend.
Yes. Hang on, before we go there, because it's funny that you should mention that he bought her a car, because I keep having this conversation with people every year going, you know why Christmas is so exciting as a kid and it just loses its gloss as an adult? And my philosophy is this. As a kid, the things you get given on Christmas Day are things that you could never obtain for yourself.
Yeah.
Whereas as an adult, all the stuff you get given, as wonderful as the thoughts are behind it, 99% of it, if you really wanted it that bad, you'd have just gone out and bought it yourself. You know, because most of the time, it's within your financial means to acquire those things. And I keep saying, you know, if someone was to rock up, you know, on Christmas Day with an Aston Martin DB9, I'd probably be all over Christmas like I was as a 6-year-old.
Yeah. So I don't think it's so much that what you... It's more the size of the present that counts, I think. Yeah. You know,
never let it be said that you're a shallow man, Glenn.
When you're really small, all the presents look big. So you get excited. When you're older and big, all the presents look small. It's like, is that all I'm getting? The pile. Yeah, the pile used to look so huge when you were young.
Yeah.
It looked so mean and sort of, what, socks? Again? Three pairs? All the same thing?
Yeah,
the pile's small. But you give somebody a car wrap, that present's big again. That pile's starting to look substantial. Yeah, so I think it's more, but you can tell I'm a bloke, it's all about socks. Oh dear! So she got. I've got this guilty feeling. They're thinking that maybe I was given something photographic related for Christmas, but I just can't remember what it is.
Oh, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, I know. So it was obviously nothing of any great value. Nothing I really liked. Right. You know that. Oh, that's fantastic! My sister last Christmas gave me this. There it is now. Actually, I look in the room where I'm at. This big poster, canvas poster of all these old cameras in all sepia sort of.
Oh,
home.
Okay.
And I don't know, the thing's about 5.5 foot tall by about 2.5 foot wide.
Right.
Hasn't been unwrapped yet or taken out of the back room. You know, sometimes it's not all about size, I guess. It's what am I going to do with that piece of crap? So, you know, they tried to think. They give you something photographic related. It's just not something you want. That's not a Leica M9, love. You know?
But you see, there you go. It comes back to what I was saying before. You know, if you wanted the 5 foot by 2 foot, you know, image of a bunch of old cameras in sepia tone, you'd have just gone to some art supply store and bought it because you could have afforded it.
Or could have taken the Leica M9 off the internet and done it myself.
Well, there you go. But the Leica M9 is probably a little outside of your reach financially, you know. Mm. Yeah. At least if you want to stay married, you know.
Well, that's hustle, isn't it? Yeah. I don't think there's anything photo related, unfortunately, for Christmas. But we had a lot of fun, which is the main thing. Yeah,
excellent.
And watching the kids, that was the big thing for me.
So, have you come up with any gems of photographic information to share with our listeners?
Not necessarily. But okay, I'll tell you, I've had a rather splendid few weeks.
Right.
Of photographing like never before.
Oh, really?
I've been in a state of bliss.
Why? What have you been shooting?
Not so much what I've been shooting, but how I've been shooting.
Oh, okay. How have you been shooting? He asked.
I've been shooting with my new little finger pressy buttony thingy, the little red thing, that sticker thing.
Your finger dots or whatever they were called?
I've got to tell you, my finger has never felt more refreshed in its life. You know? Sometimes when I'm shooting, I have to yell at it just to wake it up. It's falling asleep. It's that relaxed. It's got pins and needles. It's gone to sleep. It's like, oh, come on, finger, wake up, shoot. Yeah, that's a bit tense. But other than that, the thing is relaxed.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
It's been quite astounding, the change.
Excellent.
So I've been using my finger buttony thingamajiggy. You know, as you remember, I remember the name of the company particularly well. And it actually is very good.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. It's not in the finger fatigue stuff. That was just great marketing and advertising that made me buy it in the first place.
But yeah.
It is a lot more tactile.
Okay.
It's a lot more. I've got to tell you, though, it is a little bit like a 12-year-old boy sometimes. It goes off of the slightest touch. You know, it can be just a little bit too sensitive sometimes, but it is a lot more direct when you actually want to take a shot. It's a lot more responsive.
Right, okay.
So I've been enjoying that. Then I had a very heartwarming experience over December 24. It's a 24-hour period from 10 o'clock December 24 to 10 o'clock December 25.
Okay.
And that was in Australia, there's an organisation called Heartfelt, which we may have touched on in the past, which provides volunteer photographers who go into hospitals and photograph dead and dying children.
Yeah.
Or stillborn babies and all these other horrendous things, and do a service for the families, which is just remarkable and incredible.
We've spoken to Gavin Blue on the podcast. Yeah,
have you? It's just the most awesome organization.
It is.
But the project they've been running over the last, I don't know, 6 or 8 months or so is they've been providing camera kits to neonatal wards around the country.
Oh, nice!
For them to have on board. And they go out and provide some basic training for the people who may need to use them. So just in case it's a situation where a Heartfelt photographer can't get there in time.
Right.
They've got this kit with a printer, all bagged up, all ready to go. It's like a Canon G16, all fully loaded, chargers, the whole thing ready to go. Canon printer and all the paper and ink they need. So the staff can then just go shoot the photos, print the photos straight. There's one of those little die sub ones, and give the photos to the family immediately.
Wow.
So these little kits. And but what they've had, they've got this little, you can donate kits to the organisation. And a lot of families who've had to unfortunately use their service have done this.
Yeah, yeah, right.
In memory of their child.
Yep.
And as I said, I don't know if I mentioned in the past, I had a younger brother who died just after birth.
No, I don't think you had.
So this organisation's always had a very special sort of part in my heart because of
yeah.
that.
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah, it sort of emotionally ruined my entire family. So it was one of those very, very hard. Back in post, it was post-war England, the early 60s, and it was like my mum gave birth, and after a few hours she said, "Can I see my child?" And I'm like, "Oh, he's dead." It was pretty much how she found out. And my father found out he was at home looking after the kids, and he got a phone call from the hospital. "Oh, the kid didn't make it. Can he come get your wife?"
Wow.
That's how he found it. So it was a pretty harsh and brutal world in those days. And then they never got to see the baby and all that sort of stuff. And it was all pretty horrendous. So that sort of stuffed up the family emotionally for me. still gone. But this is an organisation that means a hell of a lot. But because of the emotional person that I am, and hard to believe that I am, I'm a sap, I cried adverts.
Right.
I'm not even talking emotional adverts, just like a peanut butter one or something,
Right.
So, I mean, I've always said that, I'll do everything I can to assist this organisation. So I train for photographers for them free of charge.
Right.
As one thing I do, because I always figure I can't do it myself, because me crying in the fetal position on the hospital floor is not really helping anybody.
No.
So I saw this kit thing. I said, it'd be really nice if the regular CPW attendees and everything else had got to know more about this organisation, and B, maybe wanted to donate some money towards getting a kit.
Right.
So on about 10 o'clock December 24, you can set up a My Cause page, which is basically the heartfelt nominate a dollar value that's required for a kit, and it's like $860.
Yep.
And you can create this online donation page, and people go to the page and pay via PayPal or credit card or whatever,
They can
donate direct to this organisation through this cause page.
Right.
So I set it up that morning. It was sort of an inspiration that morning, and I set it up, and we put it on my Facebook page and got it going. And I'm delighted to say that in 24 hours only, because I wanted to keep it nice and short, we got two full kits.
Wow.
In fact, we got two and a bit kits.
Wow. Right? That's awesome.
We've got like $1,850 raised in 24 hours.
Wow.
From just some wonderful – and people – I'm talking people who just don't have a lot of money, people who are unemployed, donated money. You know who you are, Adam. people who donated wonderfully out of their open hearts. And to do that was just fantastic. And I always say there's not much that we can do as photographers or passionate photographers that can really aid the world, photographically.
Sure.
But this is definitely one of those cases.
Yeah.
This is something that we can sort of give back. And so I was delighted. And it really, it made Christmas for me, to be honest.
Yeah,
as much as delightful it was seeing the kids, to be able to do this for the organisation was just fantastic. So there's two kits being assembled as we speak, and they're going to go out to the regional neonatal wards where it's hard for people to get to in any reasonable time frame.
Yeah, for sure.
And we'll be able to provide a little something for people who are going through what's possibly the worst thing you could experience, I guess.
Man, that's great. Well done.
Yeah. Hey, well, now thank you everyone who donated. And I know there's some listeners here who listen to our podcast who donated, and thank you guys, everyone who got on board. It was fantastic. And
yeah.
It was a very humbling experience. So. That's the best photographic thing I did this break was
that's,
that.
That's awesome.
And I'm thinking, maybe coming around towards halfway through the year, we might try and get another one up. Something I want to sort of keep going on an ongoing basis. But I might give people some notice this time rather than just launch it without any knowledge whatsoever. Yeah, you know? So it was astounding we got it done that quickly. I mean, we had donations within minutes of me putting up on Facebook.
Wow.
Which was astounding. We had hundreds of dollars coming in within minutes. Yeah,
that's cool.
And it was delightful. So anyway, enough of that. That was my big thing.
Awesome.
Now, normally this time of year, or up until I should be back about now, I'm normally at PMA at CES over in
okay,
the
yep.
West. But this year I couldn't be bothered going, so I didn't bother going. I nearly had to go because the PMA, the Photo Marketing Association, their wing, DEMA, Digital Imaging Marketing Association. I was vice president last year of the organization.
Yeah.
Then my next step would be president-elect, and then the following year, the president of the organization.
Right.
Well, I got this urgent phone call saying, look, the president-elect doesn't want to be president. Will you be able to step up? I said, well, yeah, but yeah, I'm not coming. So, yeah, unless you're going to fork out all the money for me to come over, yeah, I'm not coming over. So I said, oh, we haven't got any money to do that. So, well, I'll see you the year after then. So
so there goes all chances of you becoming president.
Oh, no, I'm still president-elect. But it was the choice of, yeah, do I go down and go camping with my 6.5-year-old for a few days for a first-ever camping, watch her go yabbing and have a ball with her, or go listen to a bunch of people in America. And so I went camping.
Yeah, option A.
Mm.
Every time.
I'm away enough as it is, and there's an opportunity to spend some quality time. So, yep. So normally I'm over for PMA this time of year, but I was trying to keep an eye on what was going on because, you know, I'm part of the organization.
Yeah.
And one thing I noticed was that camera sales for 2013 were down 60%.
Whoa.
60%.
Yikes. Across the board.
Yeah.
That's obviously standalone cameras.
Obviously not
products that are designed to be a camera and not to be a phone. Yeah, exactly. for you know, foremost.
So I think what happened is that actually was a slight increase in SLR sales, but wow. there was such a massive downturn in compact camera sales that it made the whole across the board a 60% downturn in volume.
Wow.
Which is astounding. So that was it. But there's always some good stuff coming out as far as, you know, where technology is heading. So it's always interesting to sort of keep an eye out on that.
Yeah.
And Fuji and Panasonic combined made an announcement about a new CMOS sensor that they've developed.
Okay.
As an organic CMOS sensor.
Right.
As opposed to who knows how they make them now. And it's designed, it will actually capture all the light that hits the sensor rather than, I don't know what the current ones are, 70 or 80% of light that hits them is all that actually gets through onto the sensor.
Oh, okay.
Because of the way they're formatted. So, yeah, this is the first sensor ever designed that will actually capture all the light that hits them, which is
pretty
cool.
Does that mean that they can potentially capture a wider dynamic range?
Well, I don't know if that's going to be the case.
Right.
But it'll be able to capture, yeah, you know, it'll be able to give you more light in less light, if you know what I mean.
Ah.
So it'll be able to shoot into much lower light conditions because that, yeah, you're not throwing away a third.
Also, sensitivity will be improved.
Sensitivity is going to be improved.
Fantastic.
So you're not throwing away 30% of the light. So you'll be able to use much lower ISO, no, 30% lower ISO in the same situation as an example.
Right.
With your sensors. So that's an interesting thing to keep an eye on.
Mm.
And I came across this amazing thing that researchers, that's always, you just put that in a little parenthesis, researchers have found that if you zoom in, because the resolution of cameras is so good these days, that if you zoom in on the pupil of a subject's eye in a photograph, it can pull out details of people it can see on that pupil.
Yeah, right.
And they can face detect this stuff and facial recognize this stuff. So
wow.
Let's say you take a photo of someone at a family party. Well, it will not only take the photo, it will not only recognize the person taking the photo of, but the person who took the photo and the people standing around watching the photo being taken.
Wow.
And so it'll tag all of those in the photograph because they were there.
Wow.
Even though they're not in the photograph.
That's crazy.
Mm. Which who knows? I mean, who knows why? But, but that's interesting. But they're coming out with all sorts of stuff like, they're developing face detection into things like scene detection and scene recognition. So they recognize the type of scene you're trying to shoot, the structure of it. And linked in with GPS, they'll be able to know exactly where you're shooting and get this, then give you compositional recommendations based on previous people who shot there. So here comes every budding Ansel Adams up in Yosemite. Because, well, Ansel stood here. No, you need to be a bit lower, a bit over there. Maybe it's got like a little hologram ghosted over. You can line up your image.
I'm thinking the application more for the people who take drunk photos at parties. Yeah, be able to identify which pub you're drinking in, how long you've been there. It'll be able to tell you to stand still. Stop wavering backwards and forwards.
So I love it. So they're doing a lot of development in this ability for the camera to be smarter, I guess. That basically, it's a dumb object, so it can't actually be smart, but it can understand more about what it's trying to shoot, possibly, and your program type modes and your scene modes are probably going to become smarter and more adaptable to not just a generic put it on landscape mode, but you put it on landscape mode, it detects actually what the landscape looks like as far as depth goes and shapes and so on, and maybe makes decisions based on that. So there's some interesting stuff going on there for people who don't want to learn how to actually take photos. Then I saw the ultimate selfie camera.
Oh, okay.
It's called the Me Cam camera.
Right.
But it's not just not don't call yet. Wait, there's more.
Okay.
It's the Me Cam helicopter.
Okay.
So this is a helicopter that flies around and hovers around you. Basically, you wear this little device, so it sort of keeps honed in on you, and shoots you from different angles and moves around as you're interacting with people and shoots your life from the air as you move. Wow.
Your very own paparazzi.
Exactly. This thing's just going to fly around with you and take photos of what you're doing. That's the ultimate selfie camera, isn't it? It's got to be.
And who's going to care?
Oh, a lot of people. A lot of people, yeah.
Oh, dear.
And then the next big thing for photo retailers, they're talking about becoming is 3D printing.
Oh, okay.
So the actual ability to obviously print objects in 3D rather than in 2D using the new 3D printers. But they were doing a display. But
it's a 3D print on a 2D piece of
paper. It's a 3D solid object.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right.
So you can make a camera as an example.
Right.
You give it the design and it builds it in full 3D.
Okay, right.
So they had a display of a doll's house. This massive doll's house that's laden with furniture and people. They're realistic, lifelike, full color. One's a pregnant lady. I'm sure it's actually somebody. Dogs, all this stuff inside this doll's house. And every single thing was printed by this 3D printer.
Off a 3D printer. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking the carpets, the beds, the bath, absolutely every part of this thing, the chandeliers, all printed in from 3D.
Yeah, right.
So, they're really developing that. You know, take something into the store and it'll print out a full 3D. You do a photo of someone you like and it'll do a 3D representation of them as an example. So, who knows?
You'll walk out with a life-size carving of somebody under your arm.
What, Pamela Anderson? What? What do you mean? What? And then there's a French company called Digitizer, as in EYE, Izer.
Right.
Which have new kiosks, not the old photo booths.
Okay.
So you walk in and stand in this thing and you press a button. It takes a photograph in full 3D of you.
Wow.
There you go. For your avatar for games. So you can have a real walk and talk and three-dimensional you.
Oh, wow.
In your games.
Wow. It's all getting a bit narcissistic, isn't it?
There's a Japanese one where engagement photos, where these people go in and they do a posed shot of the two of them, and it comes in these little printed desktop, three-dimensional representation of them two hugging. Yeah, that's a big thing happening in Japan. If you're really into your Star Trek and you like being a Klingon or whatever, you can get a 3D model of you as a Klingon, all sorts of stuff. But then it starts to get a little bit creepy.
Oh, because it hasn't got creepy yet.
No, that was the bad stuff.
Right.
The creepy bit is from this company called Technologia Humana 3D.
Oh,
and it's providing 3D replicas of children or of parents holding their children or offspring. Or, and this is where it gets creepy, rendering 3D sonogram fetal scans.
Ooh.
You know those 3D scans they're doing these days?
No, but I can imagine.
Well, they've got, if you're having a baby now, rather than just like, that's your baby, that blob there, it's actually a full 3D thing. You can see facial features and the whole thing's like, it's like seeing an actual unborn baby in 3D. Well, now they can take that sonogram and print that baby in 3D for you. So you can be holding your 3D life-size baby before it's born.
Yeah, you're right. That is creepy.
That's getting. And of course, then straight away, I had no choice but to go here with my head. That has massive implications for people like the Heartfelt story we're just talking about.
Yeah.
of people then getting 3D life-size replicas of their now dead children.
Yeah.
And holding on to them. And I mean, and that's, yeah, I know it's, you know, people will say, you know, but if it helps the grieving I just dropped my microphone. They say, if it helps the grieving process, it's all fine. But, you know, I don't know. You know, where's the, that sort of, yeah, that sort of, yeah, freaked me just a little bit.
That, you know, that tends to make me think, though, that, you know, as horrible a situation as that would be to be in, to have a child pass away immediately after delivery, having, you know, a 3D printing of that child is not helping you to move past it.
Yeah, you'd be hanging on.
It's letting you just hang on to it forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, it's all a bit like when your favourite pet dies and, you know, you stuff it. You put it on the mantelpiece. You put it on the mantelpiece, which is a bit hard for a Rottweiler.
Well, just get a bigger mantelpiece.
You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, they've got there's now a kind of weird representation of their once beloved animal.
Yeah.
And it no longer looks as soft and cuddly and friendly as it used to. It now looks a bit creepy and a bit evil. You know?
Yep.
Your friendly Saint Bernard that you've loved for years now looks like Cujo. You know. That snarling teeth, the rigid look, you know. So, yeah, I think, yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting developments and stuff, but, where are we going?
Yeah.
Where are we going? So that was the things I've been looking at this week anyway.
Well, the things that I came across over the break, just a couple of things. One was a link on Viral Nova to the title of the thing was Time Traveling Photographer, and this was about a Japanese photographer, Chino Otsuka. And what this lady has done is using photographs of herself as a child, she has taken photographs of herself, so she's done self-portraits of herself today, in the same sort of poses, and then photoshopped herself into the images of the younger self. So there's young version of her and today's version of her standing side by side. And she's done an absolutely brilliant job of it. It looks fantastic. You know, she's managed to mimic the look of the film and the, you know, the color, you know, variations in the prints and whatever.
The lighting angles,
everything. It is absolutely
so well. Or she's completely faked the old photos so they no longer look like they did. They just look like they match the modern one.
Well, either way,
you see that when these people do these restorations of images. Well, how do you know that's what the scene looked like? That's how you made it look, but in reality, but it matches, but doesn't necessarily mean it was exactly that's what it was like.
Right, but presumably these are photos of her as a child, which are the basis of the image. And then, you know, she's gone to whatever lengths to photograph herself today in, as you say, the right lighting, the right, you know, angles and all that sort of stuff, so that she can then photoshop.
I had a look through them. They're pretty darn cool, weren't they?
They were really well done. Really well done. Anyway, the link to that will be in the show notes for those that want to check it out. And the other thing that I saw was on popular photography that Canon has patented a 100x super zoom lens.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely massive. They said in the text, it said technically it's slightly under 100x, running from 3.6 mil to 340 mil. A 35mm equivalent of 20mm to 1900mm with an aperture range of f3 to f9. So it's not a very huge range of apertures to choose from. So you're going to have to be...
That probably means... Does that mean variable aperture? It varies from f3 to f9? More so than that's the only aperture ranges you've got?
Oh, no, so that's what I took it to mean.
A range is f9.
A range from f3 to f9. Yeah, that was
that's not too bad.
Yeah, you're going to want to be pretty bloody steady with your hands at 1900
mil F9. Not too bad.
Yeah, so...
Now, here's the thing. About, God, no, I don't know how many years it was. It was early 80s. Yeah. Halley's Comet was coming.
Oh, yes, 86.
So in about 84, I was working in the camera store back in those days.
Right.
And we decided we were going to become the telescope experts. We were going to sell a shitload of telescopes for Halley's Comet Gallon.
Right.
Knowing full well that the best thing to look for at a comet is the binoculars.
Right, okay.
So we knew that everyone wouldn't want to hear that. They'd want to buy telescopes. So me and my mate Franco, who I work in the store with, we trained ourselves
up. Being the snake oil salesman that you were.
we oiled ourselves up something shocking. But here's the thing, every single telescope you could buy back then, in those days, that was a moderate price.
Yeah.
Their marketing spiel was, this one is 675 times magnification. Yep. This one's 900 times magnification. This one's 1,100 times magnification. So people would come in.
1,100 times what, though?
Well, the smallest number. right. But that was the marketing spiel was all about power. Now, right. In reality, not one of those was any good past about 60 times.
Oh, okay.
Okay. They were just unusable, impractical, non-manageable. Technically, they were doing that, but the practicality of use was just so ridiculous that you could never use them for that.
Okay.
Funny enough, in using telescopes in astronomy, the lower the magnification, the better for most stuff.
Oh, right. So,
there's very few things you'd use high magnification for. Most of the stuff you want is as low as possible.
Right.
And the problem often becomes is to get the magnification low enough that the exit pupil or where the light comes out of the eyepiece is far bigger than your pupil, so you're losing all that light anyway. You're not gaining, it's not filling your pupil. It's escaping out your eye anyway.
Oh.
So there's all these other issues. But that was the thing. Everyone was all about the power. But the reality once they used it was, this is just crap.
Right. You know?
Yeah, sure, okay, Mr. Cannon, come out with a 100-time zoom lens.
Yep.
But is it even if you go and try and use a 45-time zoom lens exactly. on these cameras these days, you can't – the angle of view is so tiny, you can't find anything. you'll be lucky to find the side of a bus.
Yeah,
from about 4 feet away. It's nigh on impossible to find anything. When you find anything, you could never track and follow it because the angle of view is so tight.
Yeah.
Every movement, even with image stabilized, is magnified so much, 45 times, obviously, the movement is huge that you can't get a practical shot out of it. So, in actual fact, 100 times is just twice as bad as 45 times. one sucks, one doubly sucks. In reality, the reality of usability is going to be fair, I would imagine. I could be wrong, but it's going to be fairly useless.
Yeah.
Well, for most people's most applications, because no one will know how to get the most out of it.
No. Well, like I said, you there's no way you'd shoot handheld with the thing.
Mm.
Even
the tripod, because most tripods that people would own, you don't have that finite microscopic movement that you would need at 100 times to move just a tiny bit for composition.
The thing is, your
tripod head moves too much.
Even if you had the most super rock solid tripod.
Yeah.
And even if you used mirror lockup, I still reckon that the body would move enough.
That this is probably a compact camera, not a lens for an SLR.
Oh, okay, right.
So it's going to be an all-in-one. I would imagine that's what most of these big zoom things are. They're all in one jobbies.
There probably is no mirror lockup.
Yeah, so if you don't have like the smoothest video head going in the world, which you can just do a 0.3 of a millimeter slight move, you can't shoot with a thing anyway.
Yeah.
And as I've always liked to say, I'd rather have a small, sharp object than a big, blurry one.
Yeah.
In my photos. Yeah. That's the thing. It's all fine. Let's face it, we chase pixels for how long?
Yeah.
And did they make our photos better?
Nope.
We have this lust for chasing bigger, but everything comes to a point where the practical changes are no longer great. And this is one of the things that the SLR manufacturers have come up against now as well. When was the last time there was a massive incremental change in pixels at a moderate range camera?
Say that again.
Well, when has there been a massive incremental? Go and look at the latest release from Canon and the latest release from Nikon. They're about the same megapixel as their cameras from 2 years ago.
Yeah.
There's no they haven't doubled in megapixels they've reached the limit of where it's practical, balancing quality and noise, etc. On. So there's no change there. So how else can they get sexy and get people excited about photography? Or start talking more stupid numbers. Before, it was all about big mega pickles. Well, mega pickles aren't doing it for them anymore. Let's start talking about big zooms and sucking people in that way. Let's not talk about photography and let's teach them how to take great photos. So when they get great photos, they want to buy more gear because they're really loving their photography. Let's not do that.
Yeah.
Let's just sucker them in to buy a 100x zoom that they'll find out straight away was impractical and they'll feel like a fool because they can't tell the missus they bought it because they were compensating for their... But that's the thing. It's what are we chasing?
Yep.
That's not chasing better photos.
No.
Soon they're going to come out with a zoom that's so powerful, you'll be able to photograph the back of your head. Oh, I've got a bald spot. Didn't realise that. Look at that. Bloody hell. Yeah. That's the ultimate selfie cam, I guess.
Oh dear.
Oh yeah, I'm always wary of any of those. So I had a guy at the workshop today. I was joyful enough to be able to run a workshop in a 100-year-old building with a tin roof no air conditioning in a 44-degree temperature day.
Oh, ouch. Hopefully it was a high ceiling.
Well, hot, it was high, but it's been 44 degrees for the last 4 days.
Yeah, right.
It was hot. I lost about 20 kilos today,
yeah,
I reckon.
Yeah, right, I believe
which
it.
In, for our non-kilo customers, we're talking 45-odd pounds.
Yeah.
I'm down to like 300 pounds now after today. I've lost a lot. I've lost like 12% of my body weight. So it was a big day of sweat.
So was it a good venue to shoot in?
Oh, it's my normal. That's my workshop space.
Oh, okay.
My space is in a 100-odd-year-old building.
Nice.
Beautiful old heritage building. But it was just an understand your camera workshop. But it was stankin' hot. But I had a guy there who had all the gear. Yeah, he's got it all. He's got it going on. No clue how to use it, of course. But he was all about everything. Every question he asked was about technology. What about this? What about this shooting mode? What about this mode on my camera? What about it's all worrying about the technology, not how to take a photograph.
Right.
Yeah. And because his mindset was that way, most of his photos are fairly average.
Right. Yeah.
That's the thing. Don't chase the better image. Yeah. Don't spend time chasing the number game. Yes. You'll never win that.
No.
Never win that. Now Carl Hemming sent something through, didn't he?
He did. He sent a thing from boredpanda.com.
That kind of worries me. What kind of websites this man's looking at? He's looking at Bored Panda.
Yes.
Disinterested Giraffe, I think, is another one he goes to. Disinterested Giraffe, Angry Hippopotamus.
But anyway, this was a story of a Russian lady who has taken a whole portfolio of images of her sons and their pets on the farm that they live in Russia. And, as we've often said, she's used natural light as much as possible. And has just done it beautifully, and she's used the seasons to create different images and different feelings, and the whole portfolio is really, I don't know, I really liked it, even though it's not the kind of thing I would go and shoot. I really enjoyed looking at the images. They were really well done.
Well, I had a look at them.
Yeah.
And I formed a different conclusion.
Okay.
And that conclusion was that this is exactly what is wrong with the internet.
Okay, why is that?
Well, people keep finding all these bloody amazing photographers and then rubbing your face in it. Have a look at this one. He's better than you. Have a look at this one. He's better than you. Have a look at this. Isn't this guy awesome? Compare it to you bastard, Carl. Oh, I tell you, want to keep rubbing our face in these photos? Yeah. Oh, look how good these ones are. Look how good these ones are. There's some cruel people in this world. It's just spite. I reckon it's spite. That's what it is.
That's it.
Those are bloody amazing photos, and it sickens me quite frankly. Once again, these people with talent. I just dropped the microphone again, just for fun, for the second time tonight. Sorry, but this time I managed to drop my computer with it, so we're getting a nice even balance.
Nice.
That's what you get for precariously balancing your laptop on a box and slightly on a tiny bit of a chair.
Right.
So it's one little touch. In fact, if I was to sneeze, we'd probably
literally living on the edge.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's me. Yeah. That's what I like to do. You know? I'm not up for that great photo taking stuff, but I'm up for living on the edge. Now, so that, definitely put the link to those photos in there because they are beautiful. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of post-process work on these
images. Oh, for sure.
There's an awful lot. There's a lot of action or presets. It's very, very light. But compositionally, she's very interesting. Yeah, she certainly understands how to use light. Yeah, she's got some great stuff. So, I hate her. Yeah. But, you know, that's just my insecurities in the world, you know. The other thing, our lovely friend Adam Davidson, and by lovely I mean in person, not as in looks, because he's not the most attractive of men.
Hey, Adam.
We love you a long time. He sent through a thing on mother and son blowing bubbles in freezing cold temperature.
Oh.
See that?
Hang on. That was on Facebook, wasn't it?
That's right. And there were so these bubbles were freezing and then they were photographing them. I think. And they were creating like snow crystals on the bubbles as they hit the and or they were breaking or the actual bubble was shattering but leaving like a half dome of the globe.
Oh wow.
So really really cool and interesting stuff that in obviously extreme temperatures.
Yeah, right. I didn't get to look at that. I remember seeing that notification on my phone and thinking, that's something I need to check out from the desktop rather than trying to do it on my phone. And then I completely forgot to go and check it out. So, Adam, I will go and have a look at it. Definitely.
Yeah, so they were good to see as well. So that was yeah. And the good thing is about that is no real talent involved in those photos. You know, what do you need? Some bubbles and some bloody cold air. You know, right. The things are freezing and maybe a lens that focuses close. There's no talent in that. So I'd rather see those in those bloody Russian photos any day. So Carl, just as a tip, check out the bubbles and be looking for something mundane like that from now on, if you don't mind. And someone also sent through, and I think it might have been that man Davidson as well.
Right.
About a box of negatives that were found. So it was a box of 22 never before seen exposed but unprocessed negatives taken by a photographer down at the Arctic, Antarctic
Circle. Antarctica, yes.
With Ernest Shackleton.
Yes, I do remember that story.
These 22 women, and they found this box 100 years on.
Wow.
And of course, they're still printable, still workable. So they've got the printed image from those as well, which was. And Adam posts, let's see anyone try and get an image taken today accessible in 100 years' time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone goes and finds a 3.5-inch floppy in 100 years' time. Hello. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they think, gee, they had strange shaped glasses and drink glasses in those days. All the coasters are square. Yeah. That's kind of the way of it is. So that was another interesting share as well. It was great looking at those images. So.
Mm.
Shooting a new model tomorrow. That's one thing. I'm looking forward to that. She looks to have a very very balanced face,
right?
Which always augurs well for interesting images. So I'm looking forward to that.
Cool.
Oh, I did a commercial shoot yesterday.
Right.
Boring as all get out of going around a company called Specsavers, if you've heard of them.
Yeah.
Photographing their stores and some of their new state-of-the-art stuff they've got on the shelves and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Boring. It's one of those silly gigs that you get approached to do a job and you don't want to do it because it's boring. Who wants to shoot that? So you quote a stupid price, so hoping they'll go away, and then they say yes, and damn, you've got to do the job now. So I spent the day yesterday driving around and had to go to four stores. I loved it. If you saw my Facebook update yesterday, it's taking photos of my car's thermometer every time I got in the car, and the record for yesterday was 54 degrees.
What?
54.
You clearly parked it in the sun.
That was in the shade, my friend.
Are you serious?
I'm deadly serious. That was it was on the edge of the underground car park, so it was exposed to the heat of the outside, but it wasn't in the sun.
Wow.
54 degrees.
That's bizarre.
So it was definitely hot enough to boil a monkey's bum.
Yeah.
So that was my other joy of photography. So I posted on Facebook an image of behind the scenes image of me shooting these. And they've got this iPad thing set up, and you can I didn't pay much attention, but it's like you put on a pair of glasses and it takes a photo of you, or it just takes a normal photo of it, and it puts all these different glasses on your face.
So
you
can see
options.
Right.
To see how you'd look. So,
right.
Yeah, so I had to take photos of that sort of stuff. So I did a behind the scenes shot of that, and my comment was, the sexy side of photography rears its head again. Not. Yeah, that's the joy of the true working photographer, taking photos of crap stuff you have no interest in. So, oh, yeah. So back to my normal method of operation, some young flibbity gibbet.
Nice.
And, much more interesting.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Will you enjoy that?
I will. And you enjoy your weekend?
Yep, will do.
And you people enjoy your Tuesday or whenever you're listening to this? When's it come out?
Sunday.
Come out Tuesdays?
Oh, no, Sunday. It comes out on a Sunday.
There you go. Yeah. That's interesting. So enjoy your weekend, everybody. But So it's coming out this Sunday?
Yes.
That doesn't give you much time to edit this stuff
no,
out.
No, it does not.
No.
Because it's Friday night now as we're recording. It's Friday.
Yeah.
So we normally record on a Tuesday night.
So I'd like to say enjoy your weekend, but you're not going to be able to. Trust me, as you're editing out all this crap of me coughing and stuff, I'll be thinking of you tomorrow whilst I'm shooting this gorgeous young thing.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Take care, my friend.
All right, mate. You too, and I'll talk to you next week.
See ya.
Bye. See you, mate. Bye.
Shutter Zinc, another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shutterzincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email thevoice@shutterzincpodcast.com.